Thank you, young ladies. What about his grace? You know, it's just one word, but that word grace contains so much in it. And we'll never fully understand it all till we get to be with the Lord. But thank God for his grace. I appreciate that good message and song. Okay, I see. I want you to open your Bible somewhere. I got a little mixed emotions about it, but I think I'll ask you to go to Romans chapter 1 to start with. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go to the Old Testament for a little bit. And it's Wednesday night. It's Bible study time. A lot of our folks are gone, but we better get used to it, folks. Summertime is just about here. And one of the negatives of it is so many folks are gone. And anyway, the Lord promises to stay with us. That's the good part. Amen. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. We'll pick it up over here. Sometimes you'll hear folks say on the subject of homosexuality that, well, that's just Old Testament. No, it's not just Old Testament. God condemns it all the way through the Bible. And here in Romans chapter 1, very clear about it. You'll find Romans 1. We'll pick it up in about, I'm going to pick it up in verse 24. When you come to the word wherefore, that tells us something's going on before. And in the context, God is condemning the paganism with all of its evils. And he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I'm going to cough at you a lot tonight. It's doing pretty good. It's something about you folks. I don't know. I walk in here, look at you, I start coughing. All right, all joking aside, just forgive me and let me call. Notice now he says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? Then he says in verse 26, for this cause, all right, he's already stated the cause. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know, I kind of say this in a joking way sometimes. It's not Mother Nature, it's Father Nature. And God made the laws of creation. And you'll find very few exceptions to the fact, this fact, nature backs up the laws of God. Nature follows the laws of God. Right. So it is in this, on this subject here. Now, it says God gave them up. They wanted to change the natural use, which is against nature. And obviously it is. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, having the leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, one man toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or not natural, not nature laws again. Now, this is a King James Bible. It's one God has blessed and used, and we understand it's the very word of God. What we need in our news media today is for them to quit reading Bibles that take that those words out and make it easy and soft. See, what they do is they change it because they don't like it. So then they try to make it say something else, but they have no authority to do that. But they do it. So what we are living in right now is an area that would be easy to just label it, and correctly so, a reprobate mind area. That's what we've been seeing now in the news, and it was in the newspaper again today. North Carolina now being sued by our Attorney General. Can you think about all the major things in America, and yet now the federal government suing a state, talk about state rights, suing a state for passing a law keeping the perverts out of the ladies' room. Isn't that something big? Isn't that ridiculous? Brother Lee was telling me a while ago, he just got a report from somebody he knew at Universal Studios. And we all know Disney and Universal is, they've had gay days and all of that up there. We understand that business. They've been doing that. And one guy told me, he said, I went up there and he said, I was looking at them. He said, the obvious perverts walking around. He said, two men, caught me looking at them. So they just went and embraced and had a lip-to-lip kiss, just trying to turn somebody's stomach. And that's what it is with a real man. It's just that repulsive to think. But Brother Lee was telling me a while ago that one of these men dressed up as a woman, claiming to be transgender, just in the last, I guess, little while here, since this thing's been in the news, that he went in the ladies' restroom in Universal, and there happened to be some older ladies in there, and they spied him, and they started beating on him and ran him out. That's good. I hope they got in a couple of good punches. I really did. But let me say this. It's going to be some bloodshed over this thing. There's going to be some daddies that stand at the door when their little girls go in, and there's going to be some fellas that's going to get hurt over it. And you can't blame them. You can't blame them. Anyway, it's too bad. But you know what we're actually seeing is a prophecy. Now, there's a little heresy that goes around. Some folks say, well, we don't live in the days of prophecy. That was back in Israel's day, and now it'll come again in the tribulation period. But here in the church age, it's not a prophetical age. I beg to differ with you. Prophecy is fulfilled from one cover of the Bible to the other. And here's an example. Go with me to Luke 17. I believe that's where I want you to go. If not, we'll find another. All right, Luke 17. I believe I'm right. Go with me on that. Now, notice this prophecy part of it right here. You hear all the time, and I've preached on it many times, the days of Noah. Imagination of man's heart, only evil from his youth up. God had to flood out the world. Yes, I believe all that happened just that way. But also, now remember, the days of Noah, if you put a date on it, before the flood. Now, after the flood, you come on up and you come to the days of Abraham. Pretty good gap now between Noah and Abraham. Abraham had a nephew by the name of Lot, correct? So look in chapter 17 of Luke and notice where it says, Noah, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, what's the word that ties into it in verse 28? Likewise. But there's a big gap right there. Hundreds of years, of course. Likewise, also as it was in the days of who? Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What did it say? The same day. The same day. Then he says in verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, this verse encourages me in one sense. It says the same day that Lot went out of Sodom. I believe the rapture for the saved, folks, is imminent. Amen. I believe it could happen any time. And accordingly, when it happens, a lot of folks think there may be a gap between the rapture and the tribulation period. I think it's going to be close because you got a typology here. You got a picture a picture right here how that as soon as Lot got removed, the judgment fell. And Lot belonged to the Lord. He was Abraham's nephew. That didn't save him, but he knew what was right. Do you have a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 or 2? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 maybe. In 2 Peter where it says, "Righteous Lot vexed his own soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Filthy conversation? The homosexual crowd is who he's talking about. Their conversation. And it says Lot, now the only thing that was righteous about Lot at that time was he was saved. He knew the God of Abraham, but he sure was in the wrong place, and you couldn't have told he was saved by looking at him or the lifestyle of his family. You couldn't have told. That's an encouragement that backsliders are going to go up in the rapture, because Lot was a backslider. And he vexed his soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But he was brought out of Sodom before the judgment fell, and the angels said, "We can't do nothing till we get you out." Do you know what's withholding right now God's judgment on this evil crowd? God's got some Lots to get out. I hope that you and I can qualify a little better than Lot. But even a genuine, born-again Christian, even if they're backslidden, they're going to be raptured. I'm talking about if they're genuinely been born again. I'm not talking about church membership and all that. I'm talking about even the ones that's living a displeasing life to God, not in His will. You wouldn't know they were Christian maybe even by looking at them. But if they're genuinely saved, they're going to go. When God calls us out, even the backslider is going to go. I want you to go now all the way to the first book in the Bible. I want you to go with me to Genesis. We're going to pick up the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. Now, there's a big foundation, of course, before you get there to chapter 19. The foundation where God shows up to Abraham. And really, I won't get into it, but you have a picture of the Trinity that shows up. Abraham recognizes them. You remember the conversation between Abraham and God as Abraham begged after God told him, "We're going down to Sodom. We're going to see if it's as bad as we hear it is." In other words, judgment's coming. You remember what Abraham did? He started begging God to withhold his judgment. You know how he starts with about 50 righteous and he goes down. Finally, God agrees, even if there's 10 righteous in the city, He'll hold back his destruction. Abraham must have thought, surely, Lot and his family, he's got two son-in-laws, he's got daughters, he's got his wife, surely he's been there this long. There's a few others, and maybe there's 10 righteous. But there was not. There was not. And that's the foundation before we get to chapter 19. Now here it is, it's just Wednesday night Bible study. Open your Bible. I want you to notice the prophetical thing about how every little detail speaks to what we're seeing and witnessing and knowing about and hearing about today. And that brings back to what I just said, it's prophetical. The days of Noah, the days of Lot will have to happen and will be happening at the time Jesus returns. So let's look at the details just a little bit as we go through. Not preaching a sermon tonight, doing a little Bible study here. In it we'll see Lot's toleration. He tolerated things he shouldn't have been there. We'll see the power of the Sodomites, which is a word you find in the King James, but not in a lot of the new versions like the NIV. Then you'll see finally God had enough. It is possible to use up the long suffering of God, and Sodom and Gomorrah did so. They used up His grace. So we start in chapter 19 and get the story. And we'll just go as far as time will let us tonight. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, you remember there was three that showed up with Abraham. Two of them go on down to do the destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's back there pleading with the Lord. But you notice right here, two angels in Sodom at even, that's about dark, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, you need to know something about the gate. The gate was the city council place where they met. It was the government of the city. And Lot had so compromised that he could actually be, as it were, a councilman or a commissioner or whatever title, and he could sit in the gate and help govern. That's where he was at. Says, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. Now, Lot, no matter how backslidden he was, he recognized who they were. He knew. He had some spiritual discernment. He rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Man, unexpectedly, all of a sudden he's facing, as it were, God, these angels. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, little L, but he knows something about them, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And boy, what a joke, servant's house. Anyway, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, or no, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, let me get you to notice something. They were like men. They looked like men. They needed to wash their feet like men, walking in the dust. They had human bodies. They've already ate some physical food back at Abraham's place. Remember that? And they're about to do so again here at Lot's. Now, I don't pretend to understand how that deity, how the Lord Jesus Christ, how the angels, how they can take on a body, but you have this in the Bible. Now, we're going to notice that the angels here, that don't talk about them having wings. The Bible never puts wings on angels. I'm sorry for all the artists that do, but angels don't have wings. Cherubims do, and there's a difference, but not the angels. The angels look just like they looked right here. They were young, good-looking men. Not ladies, but men. And this is what's going to attract the attention of the Sodomites. They're going to see them. New flesh come in. And they're immediately attracted to them. I like what the angel said, though, when Lot, in verse 2, invited him into the house. I'm going to paraphrase it. I'd rather sleep under an oak tree than in your house. But we will abide in the street all night. Have you ever seen a place you'd rather abide in the street than spend the night there? I've seen a lot of them. There's just some places just too dirty. Now, maybe Lot's house wasn't, but the whole city would have been that way. And that's why today, with all this business that's going on about mixing in the restrooms and the transgender and all that, it's just dirty. it's just wrong. And that's all. You know, God calls it in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, God calls it an abomination. Right. Abomination. It's repulsive to God. Right. It's something Satan has brought on the human race that is very, very repulsive even to nature. And so it says, we'll abide in the street all night. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. He made them a feast, watch this, and did bake unleavened bread. We know that's showing again he knows who they are. Because the leavening in the bread speaks of sin. And here he is baking unleavening bread like we celebrate the Lord's Supper with. And it's a picture of a type. So the unleavened bread here, he knows who they are. And it says they did eat. They did eat. The Lord Jesus ate after the resurrection. Yeah. Remember? I don't understand it, but God, I don't understand. God that made the universe and created us all, he can do it, and he did. And they ate. Look at verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Who's coming against the house of Lot? The young and the old, the men coming around. All the people from every quarter. Now, I suspect here's what was happening. I suspect the men was compassing the house, and there was a crowd watching, just like you see on TV, just like you see the mobs get in the street. So they're all gathering against Lot's house. My, 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 that would have made the 6:30 news, wouldn't it? And all of them, young and old. And they called out unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee? Now they recognized them as men. They came in your house, where they're at. They came in to thee this night. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And that's a Bible term for sexual relationship. We may know them. Now, talk about embarrassed. Number one, Lot would have been embarrassed to be even found in Sodom, should have, when the Lord's messenger sent, showed up. Now, all of a sudden, can you imagine Lot? He knows those men don't know who they are, but those men are exposing to the angels, as if they didn't already know who they are, what the city is. They're embarrassing Lot big time. It wasn't he didn't know about them till then. He definitely did. You ever think about why Lot went down there in the first place? It was a financial thing. Remember how he looked on the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and because his herdmen and Abraham's were arguing over the grazing rights, Abraham's, you know, said, we be brethren. We don't have a fuss here. So you take your pick. Go where you want to. So Lot looked and saw the well-watered plains or the financial benefits of going down to Sodom. What's motivating this stuff today? Financial extortion is what's going on in North Carolina and several other states. I forget now whether it's Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, wherever it is out there right now. ACLU is suing right now over, again, the legislature passing a protective bill where Christians don't have to participate. And so the ACLU is suing. Hey, folks, I'm talking about we are living in a reprobate mind time. A prophetical time. Prophecy is being fulfilled as you see the news and read the newspaper with this very thing that is taking place. So they call out to Lot. We want them to come out to us. We want to know them. Verse 6. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said. Now you want to see how where Lot lived did it have any influence on him? Listen to what he says. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And he knows this is wicked. Behold, now I have two daughters. He's trying to bribe them with his own daughters. Wow. Could he have sunk that low? He did. He did. I mean, he sunk into a moral cesspool in Sodom. And now it shows how little respect he's even got for his own kids and himself. Trying to bribe him with his daughters. Two daughters which have not known man, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as good in your sight or in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now he's trying to win this thing any way he can. He's saying to them, you can have my daughters if you'll just let these men alone. That's an awful thing. But he also says at the bottom of the verse there, verse 8, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now that is still a Mideastern custom today, even among Muslims with all their badness. I've had missionaries tell me, trying to work with them over there, years before all this worse stuff started going on, a long time before ISIS, a long time before 9/11, I've had missionaries tell me, you got to be careful with those people. He says, here's what might happen. I might go knock on one of them's door, and they'll receive me graciously. And I'll go in their house, and I'm safe as long as I'm in their house. Nobody will bother me. They won't bother me. The neighbors won't bother me. They'll offer me coffee and cookies or whatever, and we'll have a pleasant time of it. They'll even let me talk to them a little bit. But he said, when I leave, watch out. He said, a few steps from the house, Now it's legal for them to go out the back door, circle around, and kill you before you get very far away. That's crazy custom. But in my house, you're safe. And that's exactly what Lot is saying. He's pulling this thing on them that they're under the shadow of my roof. My hospitality can't be broken now. I can't do anything to them. And so he's pleading everything he can. Of course, it don't work. Verse 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, talking about Lot, came in to sojourn. He came in here among us, and he will needs be a judge. What are we here today? Are you a judge? You going to judge me now? Yeah, I'm judging you. The truth is that the Lord Jesus said, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And that's a very real truth. Sure. There's a thing you're supposed to judge and a thing you're not. You're supposed to judge yourself at the Lord's Supper. Sure you are. And so they're accusing Lot now of being a judge. And we'll deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Boy, this would be quite a news scene, wouldn't it? A mob in the street breaking down to get these. Now, all they know is they're good-looking young men. That's what they're after. That's all they know at this time. Boy, what a surprise. What a surprise for them. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. That's a good old Southern term, shut to the door. Must have been some, all right, I won't play with that. Verse 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I tell you what, if you just suddenly go blind, that's a pretty big weapon if somebody can cause you to go blind, amen? Yeah. It's exactly what happened right here. And what else could they have done? They could have killed them. They could have done a lot of things. But they just do one little thing. You know, it's amazing how just God can do just a little thing to you and take care of you. Don't have to be a lightning bolt from heaven. And here they go blind. They can't even find the door. And I expect they're really upset by this time. But verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Now, who's the men? The angels. Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Now, here they are. They're washing their feet. They're eating. They're sleeping, but they got the power to destroy that whole place. We will have a lot to learn when we get to heaven. You read in the Bible where one angel destroyed 183,000 of the enemy. What power, man, what power. But they tell what their mission is. We'll destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, capital L, the Lord God Jehovah. And the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord, hath sent us to destroy it. So they're on a mission. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, here's something, folks. Our testimony is important. Amen. He's got son-in-laws that I can just imagine. All of a sudden, you found your religion again. All of a sudden, you got to be goody-goody Lot. You were pretty rough until those men showed up. I can imagine all the mocking they did. And I see a lot of Christians today get mocked. Your testimony to live straight for God's very important. It may, and it does in Lot's case, your loved ones' very lives and souls may depend on you living that testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, really a good point right here. They said, okay, you got anybody else here? Get them out. But when he went to get his son-in-laws, they mocked him. He had no testimony. Verse 15, and when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here. That's all he had left, no son-in-laws, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You're going to find out that he did not only have a testimony, he lost his testimony with his son-in-laws, he lost them with his daughters. He lost it with his wife. He didn't have much respect left. And you notice right here, the angels are begging him now to get out. And it says it's going to, the iniquity. See, sin has its own built-in self-destruction. And the iniquity of the city, somebody says, well, the city got destroyed for lack of tin. Yeah, it would have been spared if they had tin, but it got destroyed over its dirty sin that God brought judgment on. And that's, I heard an evangelist on TV years ago say, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. Now, brother, if that is not a liberal joke, right. Crazy. No, God plainly said he was going to go down there and see the land was crying out to him. The very land was crying out to him. Isn't that amazing? So we go a little bit further here and just going through the story now. And while he lingered, verse 16, the men laid hold upon his hand, watch it now, his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, having to pull them all now, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They got him out of the range of fire, pulled him out, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, the angel is telling him, get out of here, something's about to happen. And lest you be consumed. Now watch what Lot did. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Still arguing. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And it was grace that was bringing him out. The rapture will be a rapture of grace. That's why backsliders like Lot will also go if they really save. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Make an excuse. Sure about to die if he stayed where he was. Verse 20, behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Young people, listen to me. What Lot argued with God right here, you're still arguing with folks today. You're arguing with your parents, you're arguing with the church, you're arguing with the Bible, you're arguing with God. It's just a little thing. It's just a little one. I mean, what does it hurt if I just listen to this music? What does it hurt if I just dress this way? It's just a little thing, right? That's exactly what's being said right here. Let me get by. Hey, it's the little things that the devil uses to trap us. The Bible says it's the little foxes that get through the fence to spoil the vines. And it's the little things, because see, we, you know, if the devil walked up to us with horns and a pitchfork and a forked tail, we'd recognize him. But if he comes up in this little compromise, just do, you know, just this, it won't hurt nothing. It's just little. And little grows and little grows and little grows. And it grows to be something bad. And it started with a little one. It's just a little city. Let me go over here to this little city. And look what he says in verse 20. Is it not a little one? See it in parentheses. And my soul shall live better than the mountain. Verse 21, he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing. Now, here's another little lesson. You pester God long enough, he may let you have it right between the eyes. That's right. I remember one time, I wanted a car I saw so bad. It wasn't a little one, it was a big one. But I didn't need it. But I wanted it. So I started working on my wife. I figured if I could persuade her, I could maybe persuade the Lord. So I got her about halfway persuaded, and I started praying about it. And I pestered the Lord about that car for a good while. Then one day he let me have it. It was the biggest mistake I ever made. That was a sorry car. And you know what? I'd have been better off without it. Sometimes just keep on bothering God. He said, all right, just let you have it. Any parents ever do a kid that way? Sure you have. We've all been done that way one time or the other. All right, you asked for it. Here it is. Anyway, that's what happened with Lot here. Just a little one. I want to go over here. But I like verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither. The angels are telling him, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither, thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, and that means little one. Now, here's a prophetical message for us. Somebody says, how come God don't let judgment fall? I think it is falling, but I know what you mean. Why don't he just take care of this evil? Well, their day's coming. But he's going to move the lots first. He's going to move his people first. And the angel said, I can't bring it. I can't bring the fire and brimstone. I can't bring the judgment down on Sodom and Gomorrah till we get you out of here. I like that. I believe the type teaches that it may get bad, but the worst is not going to happen until God gets his people out. And that's a comforting thing to me, that the angel said, can't do it till you get out. And the fact God uses a man that had compromised and a man that was backslidden, not one that was on fire like Abraham was for God, but a Lot, the backslidden man, and vexing his soul with the sin that he was mixed in down there and saw all the time. Let me ask you a question. I believe if you're really born again, there's certain places, there's certain things you see, things you hear that vex your soul. And if it don't, I wonder if you've been born again. Because it just has to be. It just has to be. When you hear somebody using Jesus Christ as a curse word, don't that vex you? Don't you see certain things? I do. I see it among young people. I see it among all kind of people today. And I just think, man, I don't like that, you know. And sometimes I've gotten a little trouble over it. Sometimes it's best to speak up, and sometimes it's better not to. And you have to be the judge of that and be sure the Lord's in it. We own the building down there now, right in front of the hotel, right across the street in front of the college building. Used to be a barber shop there. And not a big one, but barber shop right across the street. We have the building. I think we got junk in it now. We got junk and everything down there. I think we got a lot of junk in it. But anyway, Saturday afternoon, I lost the whole week. Needed a haircut. Needed it bad. Had to get it for Sunday morning. Saturday afternoon, I run down there to that barber shop. And I'd been there a time or two before. I went in there, and there were several men sitting around, one in a chair. And just as soon as I walk in the door, there's a big old guy over there to the right. He is using the worst of language. He's dropping Jesus Christ as a cuss word every now and then. He is just turning the air blue. Nobody else seems to be saying anything. He's just carrying on. So I move over to the left, and I'm looking right across at him, and there's two or three more men in there, four men, one in the chair. Turns out, as I found out later, most of them had already had their hair cut and was waiting on one in the chair. I didn't know that then when I went in. But I sat down over there, and the guy, he's just carrying on. Finally stopped to get a second breath, and I shouldn't have done it, but he was vexing my soul, son. He was vexing me back. And not only that, those men knew I was a preacher. I hadn't been here long, but they knew who I was. And to just sit there and absorb that without raising any opposition to it, I think would have been a bad testimony. So when he stopped for a second wind, I said, mister, you know what your trouble is? Boy, you could hear a pin drop. You could hear that guy with the scissors, you know, up there cutting that hair. I mean, he got nervous. And I said, mister, you know what your trouble is? No. I said, you need to get saved. You need to really meet Jesus Christ. And I started talking like that to him. Boy, that barber, he got plumb like this. And you know what that guy did? He got up out of his seat and just a few steps over to me. Young preachers, you may face this. I'm going to tell you this. I thought when he got up and started over, what did they tell me to do in Bible college in a case like this? And I realized nothing. No, I did kind of jokingly in my mind think, boy, oh boy, what am I supposed to do? I didn't stand up. He never did get all the way to me. And he stopped in the middle of the floor. And so help me God, with my hand on the Bible, this is what he said. Perhaps you're right. Just melted it right down. And I was able to keep telling him a little bit about the Lord. Nobody else spoke. Guy got out of the chair. And they all go out the door, including the big guy. Just me and the barber left. And I got in the chair. And I thought he was going to cut my throat. That was the most nervous man. He said, you ought not have done that. And he said, you could cause, you know, and he's still, I'm thinking them scissors are going to cut my ear off in a minute. He's just still whacking them scissors. And he's rebuking me about what I done. I listened to him a minute. Finally, I said, by the way, are you saved? It's a wonder I didn't get my throat cut, man. I don't know if I ever went back in there again, but it was interesting. But have you ever been where, you know what I'm talking about? Peter said, Lot vexed his soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. If you're saved, you know the Holy Spirit is offended. Now, sometimes it's best not to open your mouth like I did. Sometimes it's just best to leave. Many times it's just best to get out of there. But whatever you do, don't let whoever's watching think you condone the wrong. Please don't do that. Then that really blows the testimony. And I think of one story to the other. I'll quit with this one. Barbershop again. Not me this time. Small guy, short guy, older guy in the chair. Barber's working on him. This really happened. Bigger barbershop than one I was telling about. Several sitting there. Well, I know you ladies don't do it in the beauty saloons. I know it's salons, but I love to play with it. Anyway, I know you don't, but men, just men, sometimes talk pretty rough and tell pretty rough jokes and carry on. Well, that whole crowd was doing it, but this little guy in the barber's chair. And finally, the guy got through with him and pulled the sheet off of him. And the little guy, instead of leaving, crawled up. Since he was short, he crawled up and stood up in the middle of the barber chair. And he started singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And of course, really, really quiet. Here's this little guy standing up there singing to those men that's been talking bad. And finally said this to him. He said, I've been sitting here listening to you, telling about what you think and what you are. I just wanted to share my testimony too before I left. Now that's courage. And he apparently lived from the story I heard. But you can vex your soul. Evil ought to vex you. You ought not to want to be in presence of it. You have to be wise. You can do more harm than good sometime, but here old Lot sure done a lot of harm. He shouldn't have been there to start with. And yet he stayed, and apparently he stayed for financial gain. Well, the rest of the story, because time's up. God rained, verse 24, upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord. Where'd it come from? From the Lord out of heaven. Oh, you say, I saw a documentary where a volcano erupted on a mountain 400 miles away and it come on. Oh, come on. Come on. God done it, man. just like the scripture says, God did it. Amen. And he can still do it, and he will do it. You read the book of Revelation, find out after saved, get out of here, what happens. Right. He does some bad stuff on the evil. He certainly does. And then here's the classic verse, verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. Now, you remember the angel had told him not to look back, not to look back. Yet she looked back. Why'd she look back? Well, the angel had her by the hand. He'd pulled her body out of Sodom, but her heart was still there. I don't know what kind of shopping centers they had in Sodom. I don't know what the lady's styles were, but she didn't want to leave it, whatever it was. She didn't want to go. And she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. You say, you believe that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I was over in Israel in 76. Brother Scotty, you remember this? Remember the guide when the bus come around the corner? And as the bus come around the corner, right up there on the cliff, right up to the left, tall. I don't know, 10 foot, maybe 20 foot. I can't remember tall. There is a column sticking up right there, close to where Sodom and Gomorrah was, because we believe it was right about the Dead Sea. Column, and it's shaped like a woman's body standing there. And the guide stopped the bus, said, there's Lot's wife. You say, it couldn't have been after all these years. Still there. I don't know. You say, well, the erosion. Well, not if God didn't want it to erode. So I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. Might be a big coincidence, but it sure looked like a woman. And maybe it was. I'll tell you one thing. She shouldn't have looked back. And I'll say to you and I, let's don't look back. I don't care how great the evil gets, what the culture is, what's being accepted today. And we are being pushed to accept it. Let's don't do what Lot did. Let's don't accept it. Let's get away from it. Let's witness against it. Let's certainly be aware that no matter what the Attorney General in Washington says, it don't matter what the President says,